Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Sometimes you just got to find out. Sometimes you don't want to know the truth. Either way, we all find our way to that point. One NBA team may be having a similar come to Jesus moment right now. It's Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline, Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. And while we are done benching for the time being right now and sitting down, we do have to tap in. We got a lot of things to get to today here. I feel for Chris Canty right now on a couple of fronts. First and foremost, as we have dealt with college football seasons, coaching cycle, and all the turnover and things going on here, his Virginia Cavaliers are now sitting really one of the last chairs in the game of coaching musical chairs in the offseason for the head football coach. And Chris, I feel like they're just intentionally trying to stress you out right now.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie to you, Gojo. I'm a little bit nervous right now because 24 hours ago, it felt like Anthony Poindexter being announced as the next head coach of Virginia football was a formality. And now I'm hearing rumors that he botched the interview, that things didn't necessarily go well, and that Tony Elliott, who was one of the leading candidates for the Duke job, has now reemerged in the conversation as potential next head coach. So I'm not feeling good about that. I mean, Dex is the greatest football player in Virginia football history, and so there is that attachment, that nostalgia of being able to bring him back home to lead the program into the future. And so to feel that kind of slipping away, I ain't going to lie to you, man. My heart is heavy with that one. Like, I want Dex to come on back home just because of symbolically what that would mean for our program.
It'd be big time. Listen, there is no more powerful force that we've seen in college football than getting the opportunity to come back home to your alma mater. I want that for you. I want that for everybody here as someone who loves their school and knows that feeling. So we've got that hanging on right now, and Chris, diff comfort about that. But we at least got a Lakers win last night, Chris. So how far does that go in balancing the scales? The Lakers got a big win over the Boston Celtics, who we remember blew their doors off earlier this year. But I don't know, Chris, something still just didn't feel quite right in this performance looking at the Lakers core.
Well, I'll tell you what's not right about it. I mean, you have grumblings that the Lakers might move on from now head coach Frank Vogel. Like, they're talking about firing their head coach, and it's not even Christmas time. I get that it hasn't looked the way that everybody thought it would early on, and you had a bunch of veteran players that LeBron James hand-selected to be a part of this team this year. They went out and got him the guys that he felt like he needed in order to compete for a championship, and because it hasn't worked out to this point this season, everybody's ready to push the panic button, where folks are not realizing LeBron James has missed half the season. So, I mean, I think that we got to slow down when it comes to, you know, I guess the evaluation of what this Lakers team could potentially be, just because we haven't seen them at full strength for very long, and we know it's going to take time for this group to gel. Now, that being said, there are some things that do concern me about this team, and none of what I saw last night is anything that's going to raise an eyebrow, because I thought that was one of the best performances that they had all season long. Whether you're talking about the starters, whether you're talking about the bench players, I thought everybody kind of played their role in last night's win, and it was a convincing win. But beyond that, it's just like, how consistent can this team be with doing it and playing that way? And then what version of Anthony Davis are we going to get from a night-in, night-out basis, Gojo? Because this is supposed to be a guy that is in the conversation for the best big man in the National Basketball Association, and it just doesn't feel like that's the guy that's showing up every single night. Like, I get it. He's playing center a lot more now. This is not a position that he's comfortable with. He'd much rather play that stretch four. But in terms of what the rotations look like and what your options are in the front court, I mean, as a Lakers fan, I don't want Dwight Howard out there. I don't want DeAndre Jordan out there. Like, give me Anthony Davis, give me LeBron James, and then whatever amalgamation of what you want to have as your wing players and the bench and your point guard, and let's roll with that. Like, that's what I would feel much more comfortable with, and it feels like that's what Frank Vogel has settled on. But now it's about being able to get this group to be a lot more consistent, and we'll see how that happens, how that transpires, whether or not they'll be able to do that. But, I mean, it hasn't looked the way that people thought it would look early on, and I think that's what raises a lot of questions about what the potential upside for this team is, what exactly is the ceiling for this version of the Lakers. Seeing as how the Golden State Warriors and the Phoenix Suns have gotten out to the starts that they have, looking like the best teams in the Western Conference.
Yeah, the upside is Anthony Davis that you mentioned. I thought Charles Barkley was pretty strong on this last night on NBA on TNT. Here he was talking about some of the struggles and how he fits into that Anthony Davis. Kane and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. I'm glad Charles feels better about all this, Chris, but he's right.
Charles ain't no Lakers fan, so he can feel better once he gets it off his chest. I got something invested in this team, man. Like, this is my team that I'm rolling with in good and in bad. And right now, I got to tell you, Gojo, I don't have a ton of confidence that LeBron James is going to win another championship. I don't, based on what we've seen from this team. Now, the one thing that I will say is, comparison to last year, they're playing with a lot more pace. They're getting up and down the court. They're getting better looks at the basket. Last night, LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Russell Westbrook combined for 42 points in the paint. That was the total that the Boston Celtics had as a team. So, I mean, that's a good thing. The fact that we had 25 assists last night, that's a good thing. But defensively, there are still some question marks about what this team can be. And that's the part that I think a lot of Lakers fans have to be worried about, because if you go back a couple of years ago when they won the chip, that was their calling card, being the best defensive team in all of basketball. So I think you saw glimpses of what Anthony Davis could be as a rim protector last night, but he's going to have to play a lot bigger. He's going to have to do a lot more if this Lakers team is going to get to where they want to go. I mean, again, going back to a couple of years ago in that championship season, there was no question that Anthony Davis was the best big in all of basketball. Now, I'm not so sure that people are saying that, especially with what Giannis is doing in Milwaukee and what he's coming off of a championship season. Like, I think if you give people the choice of who's the better big, Giannis or Anthony Davis, I don't think it's a unanimous conversation about Anthony Davis being head and shoulders better than Giannis anymore. I think that's gone away, and that's a problem for me, because Anthony Davis is supposed to be the guy that LeBron passes the torch to when he rides off into the sunset, and right now, he's not looking like a guy that's capable of carrying a team.
No, not even close. It hasn't for a while, and I don't understand. You mentioned being invested in it. Who's more invested in the Lakers than Shaq? I know he's critical. I know sometimes Shaq is basically acting like anyone that doesn't play exactly like Shaq in all that, but he's not wrong about the mentality for Anthony Davis. It was present in that title run. It hasn't been since, and if it doesn't show up, because LeBron James, in my mind, has earned the benefit of the doubt when it comes to style of play. I thought Stan Van Gundy was pretty interesting talking about the way LeBron's style has changed here in the interim. He's shooting more threes at this point in the season, and certainly injury and age have a lot to do with that. But I look and say LeBron's probably got the wherewithal to turn it on when need be. He knows how to structure his season, how to take care of his body to get to that point. Anthony Davis does not have that benefit of the doubt. We have seen him do it exactly one time at that level. And so until you can do that more often here, we're all going to look and wonder how exactly we're supposed to trust in this core of this Lakers team. Now, we want to hear from you on that front. Be a part of Canty and Golic Jr. Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Hit us up at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation's presented by Dr. Pepper. College football's heating up and the fans are hyped. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. All right, coming up next, though, because why not hit them both off the top here? Lakers and Cowboys Day to start the show. Shiver me timbers here.
Hello.
Coming up next, though, have we really found a worthy adversary for the Cowboys in the NFC East? We'll get to that in 30 seconds after this word from AT&T. All right, guys, if there are friends and family members you haven't talked to in a while, don't worry. It's never too late to reconnect. To help, AT&T is offering deals on the latest smartphones. It's not complicated. Everyone deserves something new, so AT&T is giving new and existing customers their best deals on every smartphone, even the latest ones. Restrictions and exceptions may apply. Visit att.com for details. All right, Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And this was an interesting change of events. So, Dak Prescott's relationship with the Cowboys for years had been very strange to me, because for so long he had outperformed his draft status, he had done so well, and it seemed like they had resisted this urge to reward him in the way I thought. That finally changed this offseason. And now we have what I think is pretty endearing. Jerry Jones, the Dallas Cowboys owner, decision maker extraordinaire, going on 105.3 The Fan and coming to his quarterback's defense here as we get late into the season. So Jerry comes to the defense of his quarterback, talking about the receivers and everything else. Whoever you want to put the blame on, I'm glad at least he's coming out and very publicly backing the face he should in this.
Yeah, I mean, he invested $40 million a year in Dak Prescott this offseason in a contract, and he's doing that because he believes Dak can lead this team to a championship. So from an accountability standpoint, he wants to make sure that everybody that's involved in the passing game is on the same page. And with some of the miscues that we saw in Thursday Night Football against the Saints or in the Thanksgiving Day game against the Las Vegas Raiders, that's not all on the quarterback. And I think if you know football, you realize that. But, you know, to the novice, to a fan, they might not know, and they might figure that there's something going on with Dak Prescott. And I think Jerry is dispelling that altogether. And he's just saying there are more issues that are at play behind the scenes, which has led to the Cowboys being inconsistent of late. And so I think in order to set the right tone, in order to get this team refocused, the owner is coming out and saying, listen, I know what's going on because I'm a football guy. I played college football at Arkansas, so I have an idea about what's going on out there, and you guys need to shape up because they've got to approach their business with a lot more urgency if this team is going to get to where they want to go. And make no mistake about it, this organization has championship aspirations. And you're not necessarily seeing championship focus week in and week out from everybody on that Cowboys team. And I think that's what Jerry is trying to speak to by pointing out this issue with the passing game.
Is it enough for them to actually get caught by anyone else in all this? Because, Chris, the one thing I can't do is go a bridge too far. The Washington football team is not going to challenge them in any meaningful way. I think that's both certainly in the NFC East standings, but also on the field. Like, I just do not see that team being able to go out there and out-talent the Dallas Cowboys or even out-execute the Dallas Cowboys. Like, the Washington football team's game plan largely involves eventually Taylor Heinicke having to do some sort of weird hero ball where he goes out and plays quarterback like he's a greased-up pig.
Yeah, I hear where you're coming from, Gojo. And the Dallas Cowboys do have more than the Washington football team, but we could have said the same thing about the Dallas Cowboys and the Denver Broncos, and we all know how that ended. That was a beatdown. So, I mean, I hate to use the cliche of any given Sunday, but it's true. And if you're not on your A game, if you're not executing at a high level, you can get got by anybody in this league. And so I think that's the thing that Jerry is trying to get the rest of the team to realize, because they do have a tremendous opportunity. As you pointed out, there is a clear path to them being able to get to the playoffs based on their division. And they have an outside shot of getting the number one seed in the NFC. So it's all out there in front of them. The next five games that they have, four of them are against division opponents. And all of those teams are 500 or worse, and you clearly have the best quarterback of the lot. So, yeah, I get it. I'm with you 1,000%. I think that they should take care of their business, and the two games against Washington shouldn't be anything to worry the Dallas Cowboys. But they can't roll their helmet out there and expect that they're going to be able to get a win. And that's the thing that has caught up with this team in the past. And so I think that Jerry is trying to turn the page when it comes to how Dallas performs once we get to this time in the calendar. Like, this is when you're supposed to be playing your best football. We can't say that that's what the Dallas Cowboys are doing right now.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. That is certainly the challenge for the Dallas Cowboys. As far as the challenge on the other side for the Washington football team, their head coach Ron Rivera joined the guys on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max this morning and talked about that matchup that they'll see twice down this last month of the season. And they do, and he's correct in here, Chris. Now, early on, we know injury was part of the situation at quarterback for this team. There's certainly been plenty of that up in the air. And even down the stretch of this season now, you've got their best player, you would argue, on defense out. You've got Montez Sweat, who was supposed to be coming back from injury, now going to have to miss games because he's on the COVID-19 list. So there continues to be tough breaks for this team. And eventually, I just don't think you can weather all those. Dallas getting healthier at the right time while Washington still has to deal with some of these miscues is going to be a problem.
No, it's going to be a problem, but you can't discount what the football team has done over the course of the last month since their bye week. Like, this team is a different bunch, and their formula for success isn't overly complicated. We're just going to hold on to the ball longer than you can, and if your offense can't be on the field, then it's going to be hard for you to beat us. Like, they have been the number one team in time of possession since their bye week, going back to week 10, the number one team. Remember that 19-play drive that they had to close out that game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? The reason why they were able to win that game is because they didn't let Tom Brady back on the field. And that's been Ron Rivera's reproach, and he's not above gambling when it comes to critical situations, fourth down plays, even if it's in his own territory, if that means he can sustain drives and he can play keep away from the opposing offense. And so being able to control the ball for 37 and a half minutes in a ball game, That's pretty damn impressive. And if I'm Ron Rivera in that Washington football team locker room, I'm going into this game against the Cowboys thinking we're going to employ that same formula and keep Dak Prescott off the field, because clearly he's a better quarterback than our guy. Clearly they have more weapons than we do. And so our only chance at being able to slow them down is to make sure that that offense doesn't touch the field, because with all of the missing elements on the defensive side of the ball, I have a hard time seeing that defense being able to stop the Dallas Cowboys offense.
No, this has to be a game where we finally see the Dallas Cowboys offense really get back to true form, right? Because I feel like ever since the early portion of the season, Chris, we've seen one part show up and not the other. And we know Amari Cooper spent plenty of time missing time. We know there's been injuries to that group as well. And certainly what's happened with Tyron Smith on the injury front, I think, subverted a lot of what that offense was capable of. He's that important when he's out on the field. But now as you start to get all that back together here, we're in the no excuses portion of the year. Not in my mind, again, because I think they're good enough right now as constituted to beat the Washington football team. But this is now about starting to measure yourself against the Green Bay Packers, against the Arizona Cardinals, against these other teams that are right now up at the top of this conference vying for the one seed.
No doubt about it. And so Dallas will have something to say about that, because they do have a matchup, if I'm not mistaken, with Arizona in Week 17. That could determine who's going to have the number one seed in the conference going into the playoffs. So I don't want Dallas to get in the business of looking ahead, because they still got to take care of their business against the division. And, Mike, we know how these divisions go, man, especially in the NFC East, these old rivalries. You can get tripped up by one of these teams, especially when you have those physical battles in back-to-back-to-back weeks, which the Cowboys do, because they've got the football team on the road, they've got the Giants on the road, and then they're back home against the football team. So, you know, that three-game stretch, That's not going to be as easy as the records for both of those respective teams might suggest. And so I think that's a part of what ownership is trying to express to the rest of that locker room and to the media and the fan base in terms of what the mentality has to be as the Dallas Cowboys enter the month of December.
That's going to be what's on the line for the Dallas Cowboys. Certainly, as they go down the stretch, those pair of meetings with the Washington football team going to go a long way, not only deciding that division, but deciding how we are able to really go confidently with that team into the postseason. Coming up next, though, speaking of confidence, I am baffled that we are still acting like one all-time great still has something left to prove to any of us after a lifetime body of work. We'll get to that next here. Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. I have to get to something I have been frustrated with in the discourse surrounding one Bill Belichick this season. And it didn't have anything to do with what we saw Monday night. It's a year-long thing, really going back to last year, that I think has popped up. But
Chris, well, I feel like you should get it off your chest, man. This is the perfect time. I mean, it's Wednesday. Sit on the couch. Like, you know, have the listening audience just sit back and just hear your frustrations, air your grievances, man. This is perfect show, the perfect time to do it.
You know what? And I'm going to do just that. But first, I do need to ask for help from the people on the couch, because we were just talking during the break about this.
Mm.
Our whole crew, there's a lot of Simpsons fans in here, and we started talking about Duffman, the fictional beer character that helped sell that beer. Whoa,
yes.
Duffman, can't breathe. And we all said how great it would be if they actually made Duff beer. And then we really started to think about all the different products that we see on TV shows. Krabby Patties, lightsabers, like all these fictional things that we wish we could make real. So, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. What is the fictional product that you would most like to make real in real life here? We will give you ours coming up in about 5 minutes here, and we will take your calls on that throughout the show here. But now that we've gotten the good stuff out of the way here, Chris, as we go down this season, it seems like all roads are leading us directly to what most people in sports media have prayed for. A Tom Brady versus Bill Belichick Super Bowl. Would you agree? Like, at this point, basically,
yes.
If you don't have a rooting interest, that's the Super Bowl you're in on.
Gojo, we're in week 14, and everybody's talking about, man, we could have a Brady-Belichick Super Bowl. Like, think about how far we are away from the regular season wrapping up. We still got 5 weeks of regular season ball to go, not to mention the playoffs, before we get into whoever makes it to the Super Bowl. So, like, this is extremely premature, but it just goes to show you how many people out there actually want to see the mentor go up against the mentee now that they're going to be on opposite sidelines. Like, this is something that everybody is waiting for. Everybody's got fingers crossed waiting for it to happen. And I just, listen, man, it feels like there are two teams that are capable of being able to make that run, but the likelihood of both of them being able to get there, we know that's slim to none.
We do know it's slim to none. But we also know that we got our appetite wet with this earlier in the season when Tom Brady made his trip back to Foxborough, and we covered the hell out of that here. And I get all that. Like, at the end of the day, it'd be narrative gold here, Chris. But the one thing that I started to hear pop up is I heard, you know, the folks on First Take having this discussion is, who would it mean more to? Who would need this more, Tom Brady or Bill Belichick, when it came to the notion of adding that ring against the one who left or the one who stayed in Tom Brady and Bill Belichick? I know we did this last year when Tom won the Super Bowl, but damn, has Bill not shown us enough already? Like, well, see, even before this season, Chris, like, looking at what he has accomplished up until now with a rookie quarterback and the win streak they're on and how they've won, what more has Bill Belichick had to prove? And if he did, he's already done so this season.
Yeah, that's the thing that I don't understand when we're having this conversation and everybody wants to heap all of this praise on Tom Brady just because he was able to win a championship independent of Bill. Like, I get where folks are coming from. Like, we had the control, which is the 20 years that they were together, and then the experiment, which was the 2020 season in which Tom was holding up the Lombardi. But it's not that simple in terms of the succession plan or lack thereof that the Patriots had once Tom walked out of the door. And we know this is a quarterback-driven league, so if Tom Brady's leaving as a free agent and you don't have a plan at quarterback and you're forced to sign Cam Newton on a one-year deal that's paying him, what, $5 million? You realize that it's going to be a struggle in terms of this team being able to stay at that same competitive level, and that's exactly what we saw. And Bill Belichick alluded to as much last year when he said, we mortgaged the future for the here and now in the final years of Tom Brady, and it had netted him a couple of Super Bowls. So I don't necessarily think it was the wrong decision for the franchise, but I think it does put folks in a spot where they get premature with the praise for Tom Brady, and they all of a sudden want to crown him as the most important piece to the dynasty that was the New England Patriots and seemingly discredit what Bill Belichick has done. Folks got to remember, without Bill Belichick, there would be no Tom Brady. He's the one that put all of the pieces around when Tom was young and allowed that quarterback to develop under that culture where you had strong veteran leadership. Now, I will also say this, in terms of being able to have sustained success, Tom becoming what he was after the first three Super Bowls is what led to veteran players deciding that they were willing to come to New England on the cheap in order to ring chase. Like, I feel like I should be the unofficial spokesman for Man in the Arena.
I was going to say, no one in our company has consumed this product more than Chris Canty doing the Lord's work out here, loving himself some Man in the Arena.
Yeah, but I mean, listen, I was watching episode 4 this morning, and Randy Moss talks about when he was in Oakland on his bye week, I want to say it was 2006, he flew to Minnesota to watch the Patriots play the Vikings, and he went to the Patriots hotel and dapped up Tom Brady and said, bro, I want to come play with you. Like, things aren't going right out here. I want to come play with you. And Brady was like, well, hell, I'm not the GM. I'm the quarterback. And then later on that offseason, Belichick called Brady and asked what he thought about trading for Randy, and Brady said, abso-freaking-lutely, and they made that deal happen. But that was the beginning of veteran players deciding that they were going to sign up to come play with Tom Brady and try to compete for championships, which allowed the Patriots to move on from players a year too early as opposed to a year too late, just because you knew that you were going to have veteran options to replace that production on the cheap. So Bill Belichick developed Tom Brady, and then Tom Brady allowed Bill Belichick to have that sustained success and have that culture continue throughout the years because of what they had built up in the beginning stages of their relationship. So to try to say one is more responsible than the other one, I just think that it's unfair in this situation. Like, they're both responsible for the 6 championships that they won, equal parts, and folks just got to find a way to be able to wrap their minds around it. I know that's not how we like to think about things.
Right, yeah.
And you know that I'm a former player, so I'm always going to lean to the players being more responsible for the success, but I think we've gotten to the point where we have to acknowledge we're talking about the greatest head coach in NFL history and the greatest quarterback in NFL history, it's hard to say that one is more responsible than the other one for the 20 years of success they had.
And I get it. Like, there were some probably hurt feelings on one side or the other. I'm sure there were a lot of folks in New England that didn't want to see Tom let go, that thought he should be allowed to finish out his career there. And so maybe initially some of that was out of spite. But as we've all settled in here now, and it seems like both sides have a lot to be happy about, New England got 20 years of the highest level quarterback play they'll ever see in a bunch of championships, and now they got a team that's back in first place in the AFC. I know Tom has the more recent trophy, but my God in heaven, like, how many do y'all really need? You're already back in shouting distance here now. And so the notion that we've got to parse this out, to me, is ridiculous. We saw the dynasty look so many different ways. And that points back to coaching. The foresight, like you mentioned, it has all been on display, and it has all landed us back at this point. Now, I do want to hear this, because I did not get a chance to hear this before. But apparently, Bill Belichick was on with WEEI on Tuesday and got asked if, like Chris Canty, he has been watching Man in the Arena as it's been coming out. Let's hear what Bill Belichick had to say about this. Bill, right now, sitting so happy, so pretty on top of the AFC, Chris, he can go back to heaping praise on Tommy just like he wants to.
Yeah, exactly. We didn't hear that a couple of months ago after they caught that L in Foxborough. but yeah, man, I mean, listen, what Bill Belichick has done this year shows his greatness. Like, he's going to be capable of competing for championships without Tom Brady, and I think folks are starting to wrap their minds around it. It's not something that we wanted to see, because we've had so many years with the dominance of the Patriots at the top of the AFC East and at the top of the conference. Folks were ready to tuck Bill Belichick away and say that we never have to worry about this guy when it comes to high-level winning, and they just got surprised because they didn't think that he would be capable of pulling off what he's doing with a rookie quarterback. But now, there's a real possibility that you're talking about Bill Belichick being the first head coach to get a rookie quarterback to the Super Bowl.
If anyone can do it, you know it is Bill Belichick here, much to the dismay of so many NFL fans of other teams who just want their own bleeping chance to do this. So we will get to more on that matchup here. Coming up next, though, we want to match up a little bit cross-sport here. Two all-time greats right now at the top of their craft. And hear from you. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The fictional product that you would most like to make real. By the way, Ryan Matlack, our producer, you have a clarification on this front for us.
Yeah, we fielded a few phone calls here in this studio, in the control room, and Jerry and Mark doing a great job. People have been bringing up that Duff beer is actually a thing. It's a product. It's actually real. And I think that we should put it out there that if it's not available, like, down at the corner store,
yes,
right? Like, that's what we're looking for here.
Yes.
Like, if it exists somewhere in the world and I don't have access to it, then I think that defeats the whole purpose of what we're trying to accomplish here.
Correct. If someone has made, like, a specialty one-off or something like that, that's different. I want these things readily available in my life here. Work with us, people.
Yeah. So, to anybody else who wants to call about that?
Yeah, for anyone else that wants to, for anyone that wants to mansplain Duff Beer to Ryan Matlack, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll get to that next here. Canty and Golic Jr., ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, a quote that will almost surely be regretted if it hasn't been already, by the author, one of the most infamous men in college football, just got back in his bag today in front of the microphone. It's Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty, guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We're brought to you by Goodyear, making the plays that move you forward. Goodyear, more driven. And we got a lot of callers on the line right now. We want to hear from you, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Chris and I were debating the Brady and Belichick issue that seems to be going on in perpetuity. Let's ask John in North Dakota about it. John, you're on Canty and Golic Jr. What's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey, quick thing. There's lots of instances where the quarterbacks make the coaches and vice versa. Feel like Brady was made by Bill Belichick. And the only reason I say that is you take Brady and Peyton Manning and flip where they went. Put Peyton with Belichick and put Brady with Dungy. How many rings does Dungy have now versus how many rings does Belichick have now? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm a huge Brady fan. Not as big a Joe Montana fan, but
Yeah,
I just feel like Bill.
I understand your thought process on that one, but Chris, my MO with greats always is, despite how Tom Brady came in, clearly he's made us some different stuff. That finds its way to the top. Maybe it's not seven rings on its way to the top, but it's going to be successful.
Yeah, the intangibles that Tom Brady has displayed over the course of his 21-year career, I think that's one of those things, like, you can't teach a guy being motivated the way that Tom Brady is motivated to squeeze every ounce out of his athletic ability, like to be able to get the most out of his potential, like to fully realize it. Like, most players don't come close to being able to do what Tom Brady has done. So I don't think we can discount him by just saying, well, because he landed with Belichick, he was able to have success. If you put him somewhere else, he's not going to come close to that. It's an hypothetical that we'll never, ever be able to prove. But based on what we've seen from Tom Brady and him being the front runner, according to a lot of sports books this week, to win the MVP at age 44, I think that just speaks to the level of his greatness. So, again, in praising Bill Belichick, I don't think we have to take away anything from Tom Brady or vice versa. And I think that's what this conversation has devolved into. And all we're saying, Gojo, is that we don't have to go here. We can appreciate both for what they have done, because both are the best at their respective roles in the sport.
Now, our conversation has also devolved into this. The fictional item that you would most like to make real. We referenced Duff Beer, but we want to hear from you at 888-SAY-ESPN. Let's go to Will in North Carolina. Will, you're on Canty and Golic Jr. What fictional item are you making real?
It's got to be the hoverboard.
Yes!
From Back to the Future.
Yes, yeah. Will. There we go.
That's a first ballot answer, Chris.
That's wrong, Will.
One of the first ones that
first thing that popped into my head.
And rightly so here. Let's try Curtis in Illinois. Curtis, you're on Canty and Golic Jr. What fictional product are you making real?
Hey, good afternoon, fellas. I think, I'm 21 years old, and the Krabby Patty has been a staple in my...
Yes.
Cartoon watching life, so I have to say the Krabby Patty in a kelp soda.
You know what, Chris? This is one of those things. It's something about cartoon food just looks delicious. I can't get enough of that. The Krabby Patty would certainly be top of my list.
Now, you got to help me out here, because I'm not familiar with the Krabby Patty. This is not something that I'm up to speed on.
So on SpongeBob SquarePants, he works at a fictional restaurant called the Krusty Krab. He works for Mr. Krabs, who is a crab, who has the burger called the Krabby Patty. And there's secret sauce in the Krabby Patty that Plankton over at a competing restaurant, who is literal Plankton, is constantly trying to steal. So delicious burgers, secret sauce. This is the kind of stuff we're looking for. Keep these coming. 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776.
That sounds like something you can find at a bodega in the Bronx. I'm just saying.
That is absolutely true here. If you can't find a Krabby Patty at a bodega in the Bronx, then I won't say I'll eat a shoe, because I'm going to really have someone come collect on me in a way I don't want to see. Speaking of coming to collect on somebody here, Mark Emmert got in the front of a microphone, and the most predictable answer possible followed next.
Thanks for listening to Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast. You can check the guys out live weekday afternoons at 4 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN+.